the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Our next guest was with us a number of years ago on the show after he set up Dubai Watch, which is a UK-based human rights watchdog. He set it up after he spent 22 months in prison in Dubai between 2014 and 2016. David Hay, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Now, we saw that you had a piece today in the Irish Daily Mail, which was very interesting, about the influencers who live in Dubai, who, if you were to believe them a lot of the time, everything's fine, nothing really to worry about. We have our interceptors. There's not really too much damage being caused by Iran. And yet I'm reading that it's never been cheaper to get a hotel room in Dubai than it is now. Given your own experience, given how much contact you still have with people in Dubai, what's your take on what's going on in the Gulf States?
Well, I speak to, I'm helping various people at the moment. One lady that your listeners might know about is a lady called Zainab Javadli, and she's the ex-wife of the son of the former ruler. And also not just princesses, but many, you know, everyone from many normal people, including plasterers. And so I get regular reports of what's happening there. It's what I found terrifying, and that's why I wrote the article in the Mail, was watching, and even saying it sounds ridiculous, watching influencers commenting on effectively what is, you could almost argue, a war zone. It's different if they're commenting on a handbag or whatever, a nightclub or a restaurant, but these are people saying it's safe to go out in this country, it's safe to do that, it's safe to do this. Meanwhile, you've got hundreds and hundreds of missiles and drones dropping on the country. And, you know, when the conflict first started, you know, you saw people honestly going onto social media and presumably believing there was free speech in Dubai, which of course there isn't, posting videos of their life, videos of the missile attacks, them sleeping in garages. But then what you saw is Dubai authorities and the UAE authorities panicking, because like you said, hotel rooms need to be full, real estate prices need to be high, and that wasn't happening. So they then started threatening the people, the influencers, and just the normal people. We've seen a British man arrested and charged today over there for sharing a video of an Iranian drone. So they started threatening people. People that I was in touch with had text messages from Dubai police saying sharing this information is a crime. Then the UAE prosecution put that all over social media, blocking accounts, things like that. And it's very serious because they have this very vague cybercrime law there. And effectively what that means is that anyone that criticizes the government, one of the leaders and institutions, that means the police, the courts, any state institution, have committed a criminal offense. And that criminal offense can be either 2, 10, or sometimes up to life imprisonment with significant fines. So there's no free speech. And it's I think people are starting to realize that now, literally starting to realize that now, because they've been arrested and charged for it. And the very concerning thing here, I think there's two things that are really concerning. One is that Dubai effectively created this unwieldy army of influencers, if you like, thinking it would help them promote their country and effectively their business. But they're having difficulty getting control of them. So they'll need to make an example to get control of them again. That's the first thing I think is very worrying. But I think the other thing is that, you know, I saw it yesterday as bombs were literally dropping and missiles being shot out the air. UAE government accounts were putting out free invitations to go to and see gardens outside. Come and bring your families. Ignore the bombs. Everything's fine. No, it's not fine. And I think that's the really worrying thing here. People's lives are at risk.
I think they've done a job in persuading people living there that the interceptors are going to do all the work, that there aren't going to be any drones and missiles getting through, causing damage. But is that actually true, that the interceptors have been always working?
Well, I think there's two things there. I think, you know, I think the fact that a country thinks it's an advertising strength to say, well, yes, we're being attacked by, you know, 1,000, 2,000 missiles, but we're getting most of them, so nothing to worry about. Therein lies a massive problem, I think, because the fact that they're being attacked, that's clearly not safe. And then the other thing, it's an interesting thing that you mentioned there, what I noticed in the last couple of days, the government in the UAE, the Ministry of Defense, have changed the way they're doing the stats. So first of all, it said this many have been fined as this many have been intercepted, because they were great figures, it made them look like really strong. All of a sudden now they don't actually say the ones that were intercepted. So the figures are changing. And certainly what I've seen in the last 2 days is more missiles, more drones are getting through, causing explosions, where before the explosion you tended to see with the debris, these are things getting through now. So, you know, I think it's terrifying. You know, if you're a country, be honest with people, tell them about the risks, particularly if you've got holidaymakers there, young families from around the world that at the moment can't really get home. Be honest with people, it's lives at risk. And lives are obviously more important than filling up your hotel and high real estate prices. But the Dubai rulers don't think that.
We have about 22,000 Irish people in the Gulf States at present, many of them in Dubai. They're all teachers, nurses, various other jobs, working in hospitality. Not many of them necessarily influencers. But they seem, any of them we've spoken to, very confident about the country. Great place to live, great weather, making great money. But are they perhaps at times a little bit naive as to what can go wrong for them if they step out of line in a way that they think they can behave like they do in Ireland, but in reality they can't?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, over a decade ago, I was one of those people. I spent a decade living there. I lived in the Dubai bubble. I bought into all of that. And it was only when I started to see the human cost of why my life was so nice, why I could afford a cleaner in my house or a driver or someone like that, because another human being somewhere from the Philippines or India was being effectively abused and treated like a modern day slave. So when people have that type of life, they don't want to give it up. So it's almost they become, you know, I don't want to say that they're drinking their own Kool-Aid, but you know, the delusion sets in because they have such a nice, easy life. And so I think there's an element of that because I was one of those people. You know, but I also think that, you know, the people that are in the know that see these things, you know, I mean, I speak to people all across Dubai, the UAE and, you know, Qatar. There are bombs and missiles every morning and every night. So that is, you know, if you're a teacher from Ireland or a teacher from England, this isn't normal, seeing missiles dropping and exploding around. That's not normal. That's not safe. And I think a lot of people now, particularly if they're reading the press and listening to the stories like, for instance, your show, will know. And particularly if they're looking at social media and seeing it all across the you know, even in the local TV stations in the UAE are running adverts basically saying, you know, if someone is being a traitor to the UAE, call this number, report your friends, report these people. So they're asking people to kind of, you know, report people for sharing things. So it's I think it's becoming terrifying. And people at the moment are finding it very difficult, if not impossible, to get out. So I think some people probably generally are oblivious to the things, but I think the majority aren't. And for whatever reason, they're not accepting that. But my worry here is that, you know, I think what we've seen, particularly in the last 24 hours, and particularly now with the new Supreme Leader and what he's been saying, I think this is going to get much worse. And certainly from the British government, and I'm not sure about the Irish, but really haven't helped the citizens there in leaving. And so I think, you know, I'm very, very worried for about the safety of people there.
David, as I mentioned at the outset, you were on this programme previously talking about your experiences in prison in Dubai. That was about a decade ago now at this stage, the 22 months that you spent in prison. How well did you recover from that?
I think, you know, it took me a long time. I mean, it's my 10-year anniversary of my freedom day, as it were. So that was, you know, 2016. And it took me, you know, I don't think you ever really recover from what I went through. I mean, you know, it was last year I managed to finally, I mean, I was acquitted of the criminal charges and pardoned several years ago, but I still had these civil charges in Dubai. And it's obviously very difficult because I couldn't go there, but I managed to get rid of them last year. So all the claims against me were dismissed. And it took me 10 years. But, you know, I don't think you ever recover from being locked up in, you know, what's arguably one of the world's worst jails. Very, very terrible things were done to me. That leaves a scar. But that's, I think, you know, something that I've managed to do is I think, turn that around and, you know, turn what was a very negative into a positive. And I've helped hundreds of people, even everyone from, you know, Dubai's Princess Latifah, the daughter of the ruler, the ex-wife of the ruler, Princess Haya. You know, I've helped many, many people, you know, from those injustices. So that kind of gives you a bit of comfort in the terrible things that you went through. You've managed to, you know, you've managed to help people. And that's why I carry on doing what I'm doing, because as I said, when I was watching this conflict grow and the false messages that were being spread and the danger that people will be in, not just from the missiles dropping if the government's inviting them to go to out and look at the gardens, but also from the fact that if people are posting things not knowing the law, as we've seen with this British man now, you can end up in jail, and in jail for a long time.
Well, indeed, maybe the numbers of Irish and British who end up in jail is relatively small, but what about the treatment of people from all sorts of other nationalities? The people who aren't living the expensive lifestyles in the high-rise apartments, but the people who are brought from Asia and the Philippines and other places and to actually do the construction work, how are they treated?
Well, it's the best way to describe it is modern day slavery. And like I said, I mean, that's, you know, when I realized the human cost of the fact that I had this really nice life, you know, the fact that there was, you know, a young Filipino maid and she was being paid virtually nothing, you know, I think from you know, about £80, you know, for a month, living in squalid conditions, treated really badly, abused, not able to travel, their passports taken, modern day slavery. And I think, you know, that's just, and that's how that country was built like that. It's how that country continues to be built like that. We all heard the things about the World Cup in Qatar and the people that died building the stadiums. So, you know, I think I certainly didn't want blood on my hands because I had a nice shiny car or a nice shiny apartment. And that's something that hasn't changed. You know, workers from you know, Asia and that part of the world, and particularly Africa, are abused regularly and nothing's ever done about it. And, you know, it's not in the interests of the rulers of Dubai to do something about it, because that's what makes the country tick.
Thank you very much. David Have, founder and managing director of Dubai Watch.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.